Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you, brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm excited, as always, to be with you, to share the word, and get into a new series. I don't know if we have an image for it yet, but it is entitled Life Support. Life Support. And one of the focus verses is the following. John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let's read the context of this verse, the whole chapter, John 10, and discover together how hearing and following the voice of Jesus is key for experiencing and enjoying the fullness of life now and everlastingly. John 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, the sheep following him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and a shepherd, and not a shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There is again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Which was the thing that had just happened before this discourse. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which one of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so we have a metaphor that we can explore and unpack. This is about shepherd and sheep. Basically, the shepherd does only a couple things, though very significant. And that is to provide for and protect the sheep. The shepherd provides food and water for the sheep. Think about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he leads me to green pastures beside still waters. The shepherd also protects the sheep. In John 10, we see that the sheep start out in a pen that has one door, and it is shut, locked. And so they are protected in that corral. But also out in the pastures, they are protected because of the shepherd. We can learn some details from the life of David about protecting the sheep. He protected his flock from lions and bears. Oh my. Taking his life in his hands just so that the sheep are protected. And sure, the sheep are a natural resource, the wool, the milk, the multiplication of sheep, so that some will be meat on special occasions. But that is still a very, very dangerous calling. But the shepherd protects the sheep from any hazard. Again, think of Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." Why? Because the shepherd is there. The shepherd is right there, leading the sheep. And if you want some protection through hard times, you've got to follow close behind the shepherd. Sometimes, you know, you see pictures and the shepherd's out here and in non-dangerous situations, you know, there's just this big long string or clump of sheep. But sometimes they're all just right here. When there is the sound of danger or the sense of threat. So then what is the responsibility of the sheep. Well, in the natural realm, a lot of what the sheep does is just instinctual, like many other animals, and that is to eat and to drink and to go along with the herd. No, but the sole responsibility of a sheep, and if we are likened as sheep and Jesus as the good shepherd, from this parable, the sole responsibility of a sheep is to listen to the shepherd. Behold the voice, heed the voice of the shepherd. It is in listening to the voice that we are led to green pastures. It is listening to the voice of Jesus that we are led to quiet waters. It is by listening to the voice of Jesus that we are going through valleys of darkness, shadows of death, safely because of Jesus. Shepherds lead unto resource, provision, protection, through danger, unto life. And so Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And we can have life and have it abundantly if we just listen and follow. It's by following that we can behold or ascertain all of these wonderful blessings. Oh, parables are fun and complex and kind of confusing. So who is the stranger, the wolf, the hired hand, the thief? This is open for interpretation. It could have actually many applications. But one thing is clear. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus provides for his sheep, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, those who hear his voice and follow. Jesus provides life abundant and life eternal. We can think of life abundant and life eternal, or we can think of life in Christ abundantly, always, now and forevermore. And it's much the same. Jesus says, I have come in order that you may have life, life in its fullest. I give them eternal life, and they shall never die. And of course, eternal life is a major theme in John, in 1 John. Jesus provides this life by himself sacrificially giving his life. Right? I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, again, I am willing to die for them. And this is, in fact, what Jesus does. Jesus, the risen Savior, provides life abundant and life eternal for the flock by being that risen Savior, by living and after dying, living again, so that we may have that kind of fullness of life. What's interesting here is that recognition and relationship are key elements in this teaching. If we were to structure this chapter, or the way I do anyways, is that there is the Good Shepherd teaching part 1, verses 1 to 18, and then there is the response from the people in verses 19 through 21. And the response of the people is divided. Some are like, right on. Some are like, you're crazy. Then there's the Good Shepherd teaching part 2, verses 22 to 30. And then again, a response where there is a divided group of people. Some saying, wow, this is the Messiah. Others saying, no, far from it. I bring up this structure to say that people are reacting differently to the voice that they hear. They're hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, and some are hearing a Good Shepherd, and some are hearing the voice of a stranger. So even in the original audience, there are people who are listening to the voice of Jesus and following him. And the chapter concludes by saying that many came to faith in Jesus. But for others, he sounded as a stranger. Okay, how do we hear the voice of God today? I'll stick with John 10 and the metaphor for just a little bit longer, and then we'll explore some other things. Jesus, as 1 John 1:1 says, is the word of life. Let's just listen to these verses again from John 10 regarding the voice of the Good Shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. By the way, what's fun is you read through John, how many times he uses people's first names. He says, Mary. Mary. And she's like, oh, it's Jesus. He says, Thomas. Are you serious? He says, he just uses people's names all the time, more than the other Gospels. And so I think it's intentional here. By the way, he knows your name. He has called you by name, hasn't he? Lazarus, come out. The old joke is, if he didn't say Lazarus, who knows how many dead people would come out of there. But he calls his friend by name. He calls his friends by name. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. You ever play that child game, children's game, or maybe you've just led it in VBS or Sunday school or know of it? The game is where you have two people, and one is blindfolded, and then the partner has to, like, weave the person, say, through all these chairs, and without bonking into anything, and you have to listen very closely to your partner, you know, one step forward, okay, stop, you know, go left, and all of that, and you weave them through a maze, and the person's completely helpless, just like sheep are completely helpless, but all they have to do is listen to the voice of the shepherd. And it's basically the same sort of thing in the life of faith. We can often feel like we're walking through darkness or have no sense of direction, or where are the signposts? Where is the blueprint? I need the 10-year plan. But the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet. That just shows one step at a time. The sheep listen to the voice. Oh, it's over here now. Okay, I'll munch over here. Oh, now it's over here. I'll munch over here. Today, we need to accept Jesus as our guide, as well as our Savior. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. no one will snatch them out of my hand. So, Jesus still speaks? Oh, yeah. This is kind of corny, but it conveys a really, really good truth. So, this cartoon here has the caption on the bottom, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Here's a sheep on a chaise lounge with a laptop in his lap, a TV in front of him, both are blaring, a sheep digest in his hand, a radio and headphones also blaring, a little stack of books by the chaise lounge. The Bible is on the bottom of the pile. And he says, "I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore," with the shepherd in the background calling. Oh, Jesus is calling. But are we listening? Or is life so loud that that still small voice is drowned out? Now, God can thunder too. Oh my. I remember when the tornado swept through here and all of those majestic trees snapped as toothpicks. I just looked out the back of my place and remembered the verse in Psalm 29. "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars." There was a lot of cedars and a lot of other species of trees that were broken. And I was like, "Whoa, I'm listening, Lord. What is your powerful voice saying to me?" God can thunder. Sometimes it's a still small voice, but it's always there. Like a transmitter radio. We may not have the radio on, we may not be on the right station, but it's not like the signal stops because of those things. It's always going. So are we tuned in? Okay. We also hear the voice of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. In John 16, Jesus promises, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears from the Father. And he will declare to you things that are to come." Also in this context, Jesus says, "The Spirit will remind you of the things that I have taught you." So the Holy Spirit's like a repeater, bouncing the internet signal further or again and again. A repeater. In fact, Jesus in his trial says, "For this reason I came into the world." Whoa. You're going to say the reason in one sentence. Okay, here it is. What is it? "To testify to the truth. For everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Whoa. So Jesus speaks, Holy Spirit speaks. We also have the Word of God in, well, the Word of God. So we need to know what this contains in order to learn the voice of God and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. So how well do we know this? And can we distinguish it from other voices of, say, other sacred scriptures of other world religions. Let's actually have an exercise along those lines. I went the wrong way. Okay. I'm going to present two columns, and we're going to guess, or hopefully know, which is the Bible and which is not. Okay, first column. By faith we understand... You ready for this, though? Okay. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that it was seen... so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. All right, here's another passage in the other column. When this is, that is, this arising, that arising, when this is not, this ceasing, that ceases. Which is the word of the Lord from the Holy Bible? Left. Okay, yeah. Yes, that's from Hebrews. And this is a selection from one of the Buddhist sutras. Good. Great start. All right, here's another one. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Yeah. That on the right is Matthew 10, and we have something similar, but not quite, from the Bhagavad Gita, which is the most popular Hindu scripture. Okay, here's another. Then on the day of resurrection, you shall appear before your Lord defending yourself. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The first one was from the Quran. The second is from the New Testament. Oh boy, I'm glad I don't have to defend myself on the day of judgment. I'm glad that Jesus will, because of my surrendering of my life to him. This is fun, right? You're doing great, 100%. Okay, here's another. If you are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and whosoever doth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth shall have eternal life. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith, which is the Holy Bible. Yeah. Any guesses where the other comes from? This is a book in the Book of Mormon, Alma. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Whoa, what one word can do. This over here on the right is from the Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible. A way that can be followed is not a constant way. A name that can be named is not a constant name. Nameless, it is the beginning of heaven and earth. Named, it is the mother of the myriad creatures. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he establishes the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Right? Yep. All right, it's from Proverbs. The other is from the Tao Te Ching, which is the sacred text of Taoism. Okay, one more. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The first duty prescribed by God for his servants is the recognition of him who is the dayspring of his revelation and the fountain of his laws, who representeth the Godhead in both the kingdom of his cause and the world of creation. Which is the Holy Bible. Very good. The other is the first line from the most holy book of the Baha'i faith. All right. Good job. We know our word. That wasn't meant to trap. That's just meant to illustrate how things can sound either completely different or deceptively close. So, let us let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you listen to and follow the voice of Jesus. For, as Peter once responded to Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. I think in lieu of a closing prayer, we could have some silence. Well, not pure silence. Would you mind doing a little texture of music in the background? And let's just listen. Let's just listen for the voice of God. See what he has to say to us now, through the Spirit, and lay hold of the words of eternal life. Just a minute or two. There's fun exercises like this where you get into groups of people and you listen for a minute or two for a particular person. And then, you know, the other people, like, each hear a word from the Holy Spirit. Imagine. And it all coincides. And it's what that person needs to hear. You know, we could do that at another time. Let's just listen to the direct word from God for ourselves. If thoughts come up, don't get frustrated. Just surrender them over. You can ask the Lord to quiet those thoughts or just say, you know, I'm thinking about this, here it is. Maybe the voice of the Lord is in the silencing of the other voices that we have that we don't need to hear. But perhaps it's a new word. So Jesus, we listen to you. We want to hear your voice anew and follow you unto life, life abundant, life eternal. Holy Spirit, speak.